You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll talk to a Wisconsin Democratic congressman about why he's holding a town hall meeting in House Speaker Paul Ryan's district.
First, it's time for our weekly review of state news. The biggest story of the week was the president's decision to fire FBI Director James Comey. There was a lot of reaction from lawmakers, journalists, and one Wisconsin congressman in particular.
First-term Republican Representative Mike Gallagher shared his reaction on Twitter. Robert Mentzer joins us now for a look at that and other top news stories from around Wisconsin. He's a storytelling editor for the USA Today Network, Wisconsin. He is based in Wausau. Rob, good to have you back.
Hello. Happy Friday.
Well, James Comey firing shook things up around the country and here in Wisconsin, too. People from around the congressional delegation have been reacting to this.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, I don't need to tell WPR listeners, this is kind of a big story, this FBI firing thing. So it's the sort of thing that you might expect your representatives in Washington to have some opinions about, and it turns out that many of them do, although some don't, at least judging by public statements this week. But probably the most notable was Representative Mike Gallagher, the Republican from Green Bay. He is a freshman member of Congress, and he went farther. I think he went further than most Republicans did in the type of language that he used in his reaction. He had a sort of a tweet storm on Wednesday morning. He said that it was quote imperative that both congressional and FBI investigations into Russian interference in our country continue unimpeded and unaltered. He wrote that, quote, we must ruthlessly pursue the truth wherever it may lead. And so, you know, this was newsworthy, not just because, I mean, anyone's reaction is newsworthy. What the Republican Congress is going to do in the wake of the firing is certainly newsworthy. But it was worthwhile because it was against a backdrop of a whole lot of Republican statements that were either neutral or supportive of the firing. So Gallagher sort of stood out in that way.
And as I understand it, I didn't go back and investigate this. I understand Congressman Gallagher's Twitter feed had been not widely used and not really tackling controversial stuff up to this point. So this was kind of out of character from his limited time in Congress so far.
That's right. And you know, so he's a former Marine. He served in Iraq, and so he has an interest in national security issues. So this may be one reason why this resonated with him. But yeah, you know, especially as a freshman from a, you know, his race was not close. So, you know, you might expect that, that he would lay low a little bit. Much more veteran Congressman Sean Duffy from the 7th District has not said a word about the firing of Comey in public anywhere, as best as we can tell. So Gallagher sort of put himself out there.
Let me throw a little sidebar at you, Rob. Are we seeing more and more legislators and others in government weighing in on Twitter? I mean, obviously the president, that's his favorite medium, but is this a growing trend?
Well, so, you know, I mean, the thing about Twitter is, for one thing, every reporter uses it obsessively, so it's a simple way to communicate with the media if you're a public official. And of course it has the virtue, if you're a public official, of you don't have to take follow-up questions. Now Gallagher, to his credit, Gallagher went on some local TV in the Green Bay area, so that's not completely fair in this specific case, but as a broad matter, it's probably simpler to put your message out on Twitter and sort of, you know, you can edit it and figure out exactly what you want to say and not have to deal with pesky journalists like us who want to sort of pin you down. Mike Gallagher, are you calling for a special prosecutor or an independent investigation or what?
Talking to Rob Mentzer from USA Today Network, Wisconsin, looking at some of the top stories in Wisconsin news this week. So a new report came out this week, Rob, on how Wisconsin's voter ID law and some other election changes might have affected the presidential election and voter turnout in 2016. What did the report say?
So this story in The Nation magazine starts off with a pretty compelling anecdote. There was a 58-year-old African-American man in Milwaukee named Eddie Holloway Jr., whose birth certificate, in error, said that his name was Eddie Jr. Holloway. And according to this report, that guy made 7 trips to the DMV and other public agencies. He went back and forth to his home in Illinois and back to Milwaukee. He spent $200 to try to get the birth certificate corrected, but he couldn't. And as a result, he never got to vote in Wisconsin in the 2016 presidential election. So that is the anecdote. The broader claim is that this study tried to look at how broadly voter ID laws may have depressed turnout, especially among African Americans, who all the data shows are less likely to have a valid state ID. There are some reasons to be cautious about the conclusion, which was that the conclusion was that the voter ID law in Wisconsin may have reduced turnout by as much as 200,000 votes. It's good to take that with a bit of a grain of salt. The study itself was done by Priorities USA, a progressive advocacy group with the express partisan goal of helping Democrats win elections, and it sought to compare voter turnout in states like Wisconsin with states that didn't adopt voter ID laws between 2012 and 2016. But it's just very hard to identify, to isolate the other factors that may have led and did lead some voters to stay home in 2016 specifically. So being cautious here, nevertheless, it's an interesting study. It looks at, it raises some interesting points. One, it looks at turnout in African American counties, counties with a majority African American population or large African American population in Wisconsin compared to Minnesota, and finds a sharper decline in Wisconsin, and there's no obvious reason why that would be. It argues that voter ID may have contributed.
We'll be talking, by the way, to Ari Berman from The Nation on Central Time Monday after 3:30, looking at voter ID laws. And he makes the case that they amount to voter suppression. We'll hear what he has to say then. Rob, I want to move on to another story, kind of an inspiring one here. The Children's Hospital of Wisconsin saved the life of a young bonobo, who's a kind of monkey, named Noel. Tell us that story.
Rob, a bonobo is an ape. There's no tail on a bonobo.
Oh, okay. I put you to the test, Rob, and you passed with flying colors.
You're not the first. In fact, the story said there was they paged the doctor saying sick monkey. So this is great. I mean, this, you got to love this story. This is Noel, the 3-year-old bonobo chimpanzee from the Milwaukee County Zoo, who is doing fine, by the way. But in November, was treated in a pediatric critical care unit at the Children's Hospital of Wisconsin. And this week, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel pulled this story and published photos of Noel. And I think it's important that any listener who is not currently driving should Google bonobo saved at Children's Hospital or whatever, and just enjoy the photos of a 3-year-old baby Noel. They're great.
And this isn't standard operating procedure for a children's hospital. Did it take a little, extra figuring out, extrapolating, and trial and error to do this?
So I think that this is the case, right? This wasn't their first move wasn't to call Children's Hospital. They realized that Noel's respiratory problems required certain equipment. But it truly is fascinating. These bonobos share 98% of genetic materials with humans, and this story does contain these lines, which are just lovely. Which is, treating a sick 3-year-old bonobo is not much different than treating a sick 3-year-old child. They're just hairier.
Words we can all live by. Rob, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you.
That's Robert Mentzer, storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin, based in Wausau. He joins us every Friday to round up some of the top state news from the last week.